Hello and welcome to the WordPress Chick podcast, brought to you by the WPChick.com. WordPress explained for those of us who get headaches when we hear words like PHP and functions, but want to make money with our WordPress sites. No boring code snippets here, just WordPress happiness made easy. Now here's your host, Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick.
Hey, what up, everybody? Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick here. And welcome to the WordPress Chick Podcast, episode number 4. Today's episode came about, well, there's actually going to be a lot in today's show, so I'm really hoping I can keep it to an hour, so bear with me. But today came about because I recently started working with a private coaching client, and I've done some coaching on and off, and I like doing the group teaching. But she had approached me and said, do you do coaching? So it was great how the whole thing evolved. So we just started. And one thing that I decided I would do for her, because if I can help shorten the learning curve for anybody, I'm all over it. But I thought I would write up some of the things that I would do differently. No grammar coach here. But what I would do different if I were starting my business today. So that's where this came about, because I was like, oh, that'd be a great show and podcast. So it might be a little bit backwards today, because maybe this is something I should have started with, because I also want to share a little bit of my personal backstory that if you haven't read the about page, this will be new. If you have, sorry if it's a repeat, but I'm going to share a little bit of that with you today. Something else that I've decided I wanted to incorporate into the show, though, was doing like a shout out. And I've mentioned Cliff Ravenscraft, Podcast Answer Man, a few times, and I've written posts, and you'll keep hearing about him. I've learned a ton from this guy. But one thing that I love that he does is every week he does a personal plug on his show. And I think he used to call it a random plug. People are so funny, because then someone called them out, like, it's not really random, isn't it? You're kind of planning that you're going to do this. So with that, I thought this is great, because to me, this is a perfect example of community building and engaging and creating relationships and connecting. So I'm going to do my own shout outs with each episode. So today, I want to give a shout out to Ben Boykin of emergentinteractive.com. And by the way, if you're listening to this and not on the site, if you're in iTunes or somewhere else, all the links, of course, are all in the show notes. So you can get everything on the site. But Ben was great. I had posted something to Twitter, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. I had been very frustrated with my hosting. My site was hacked. I think probably a year and a half ago. And I've been with HostGator for 5 years, but they could not get this cleaned up. And I went from shared hosting to a VPS and back to a shared hosting account. And it was ridiculously slow. And the problem was every single time I'd get on support, which HostGator support was great. I really had been very happy with them. But the response that I always received was, well, you have too many plugins. And I'm like, no, I don't. I think I've got like 22 plugins right now. And again, because I talk to everybody about WordPress, I talk about plugins. So, I mean, I'm constantly testing and tweaking stuff. And now that I'm developing plugins, well, with a team, not just me, my business partner, Steve O'Sullivan, and I over at WP Plugin Lab, we're working on plugins. We've got programmers. I need to be able to use plugins however I see fit on my site. And I want to say it was WP Beginner that they did a post, and I'll see if I can find the link, and I'll put that in the show notes too. I think at one point they had 55 plugins. So they're huge, and their site's screaming fast. So anyways, let's go back to my shout out with Ben. So I was talking with, just chatting with somebody via Twitter, and Ben jumped in and said, hey, you might want to try Flywheel Hosting. And I had never heard of these guys, and I had almost made the move last year to WP Engine, started the whole thing. Their support was phenomenal too. Love them. Then I couldn't do directory installs. So as an example, the wpchick.com/members, right? I couldn't do that. And turns out actually Flywheel doesn't either, but I've had it at this point with HostGator, and the pricing with Flywheel was huge. I'm going to talk about Flywheel in another episode. I'd love to get these guys on so they can share their story with you and how they did this and the whole thing, because they're still in beta. But if it weren't for Ben just engaging with me, I would be pulling my hair out right now, because I hated to write on the site. It would take me forever to just upload an image to a post, to log into the dashboard. It was crazy. So thank you, Ben. And you guys should go check him out. Again, it's emergentinteractive.com. And I'm going to link to his Twitter and Google Plus in the post notes too. But all of this is part of me stepping up and engaging, which I'm going to talk about as being one of the things that I would do different. But when you do it, you know, everybody knows, like, you love getting comments on your site. You love it when people compliment you. Give it back. And so it's just been a lot of fun. I've really been stepping up for me, and it needs to be increased quite a bit, but it's been great. So again, Ben, thank you. And a huge shout out to Dusty and Rick over at Flywheel. And you can check them out at getflywheel.com. And I'm actually going to put an email in the show notes as well, that if you want, they're in beta right now, you can get on the list. But if you want to jump in and do it, they're taking customers. It's just, you know, they're tweaking things. So their support was awesome. They've just been great. So I could not be happier with Flywheel. And I will eventually be moving. I'm not going to host client sites anymore. So if they're on my reseller accounts, I will be moving those. It's just going to be a process. More on Flywheel later. So, okay, we're going to keep moving on. And by the way, I've got a huge, I'm such a water fanatic. So this is what I have to, like, totally plan these episodes so that I've got my water. So if you hear any noise, it's because I've got an ice water cup here. So sorry for that. So I'm not sure why I didn't do the first episode with a little bit of my story, where I've been, all that stuff. I think because, you know, when I was starting, when I just knew I wanted to do the podcast, confused isn't the word, but I really couldn't see how I was going to do this via just audio. And so I thought, I know, I'll share my plugins. People ask about that all the time. So the first episode just sort of came to me because I kind of sat with this for a little bit. That's probably why I didn't share this prior. So I'm sharing it with you now. Over the last few years, I have edited my about page a few times. There's a little bit of a condensed version on there. And so I'm sort of going to give you that condensed version today, because I need to try to keep this at an hour. But you may or may not know this, but it's actually, and I can't believe it's been 10 years already. And it's May 7th is the anniversary. But on May 7th of 2003, my husband was killed in a car accident. And our kids were 6 and 2 at the time. I was working full time in retail management outside of the house. And, you know, it's so surreal that you just, you know, those things that you think only happen to other people. And I, first of all, I'm such a different person today, and not good or bad, but, you know, you kind of have two choices where you take something, a tragedy that happens, and you work through it. And I just knew as I was working through this that I needed to move through my life different. It was really tough, obviously, because how do you explain that to a 2-year-old? I'm not going to go down that road because I don't feel like crying today. but, you know, the first year I kept working, and about a year later I got really angry. And so I took a leave of absence, and I was and am very blessed to have found an amazing therapist that's kind of become a life mentor. So, and if I reference her like I did before, that's where I met her. And in many ways, I say she saved my life, but, you know, I've done the work. So like I mentioned, a year later, I was really, really angry. And the company I was working for, I was a manager, and I was in town. I was 5 minutes from my house, and they asked me to go open a new store, which became an hour commute each way. You know, and retail hours suck to begin with. So, but it was a 9-hour day on top of it with a 2-hour commute, and then to come home with these little kids, you know. And my kids are amazing, but I mean, we were on a structured schedule because I needed to keep our lives as sane as possible. And, you know, I was kind of already used to doing it alone. My husband worked for Ford Motor Company, actually worked graveyard shifts. And, you know, so it was always me at night doing it for the most part. So for what that's worth, you know, you look at some of those things that seem like challenges, and In a way, that ended up being a blessing because the kids' lives weren't totally disrupted to that extent. Obviously, they were devastated. But I took this leave of absence and got really... I was always one of those people like, and I don't remember this, but like my therapist had told me, you know, when I went in to see her, I was like, okay, I'm just here for grief counseling. We're not doing any of that. I'm not doing any of that other stuff. We're not talking about my childhood. You know, I'm just here to talk about Chris. That was my husband's name, Chris. And when she told me that, I think it's hysterical because it's in talking about that other stuff, you know, is where the real change happens. And you, I have to throw in disclaimers and I call this like the recovering Catholic in me, and I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm just, anyways, you know, I was blessed. My parents are amazing. They're going to celebrate their 45th anniversary this April. I love my brother and sister. I joke around, you know, I kind of grew up with the Cleavers. We had nice family vacations. They're just, if they weren't my parents, I'd be blessed to know them as people. So for what that's worth, stepping into therapy was something. I was very type A going, you know, with everything I did. I joke around that I sort of evolved. I've always been a huge reader, learner, whatever you want to call it. And I spent about 10 years in the book industry, which I talked about in my Kindle project. And so went through the gamut of the motivational authors and speakers and, you know, Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins and Dennis Waitley and Brian Tracy, all those guys. And I say guys, I don't mean that as a dig, but it's kind of interesting that the majority of that genre are men. And I just was like, go, go, go. You know, this totally is going to date me, but I'm going to quote a Breakfast Club line, you know, that that was my generation. You know, in it, the character played by Emilio Estevez, and I cannot for the life of me think of Andrew was his name. You know, and he's talking about the competition at home and his dad, you know, he's this wrestler and you got to be number one. We don't tolerate any losers in this family. It's win. That was kind of my attitude. Which just sounds so crazy to me today. But that's really where I was coming from when all of this fell apart. I was very achievement oriented, which is part of why I took on that challenge of opening a new store for the company I was with. And it was just, I mean, it was kind of asinine when I think about it that, you know, and for what it's worth, I've let go of the judgments, you know, everything happens. I just trust. You make the best decision you can with where you're at. To know that I'd lost my husband a year prior, and then to ask me to add a 2-hour commute, you know, they weren't looking out for my best interest. And that's not a dig. It was a wonderful company. But I should have said no, but I wanted to get promoted. I wanted to get to that district position because I had done that in the book industry. I was a district manager in San Francisco at like 26. And that's what I thought I had to do because I knew it would be more Monday through Friday. It would be an increase in salary, I'd have a car, blah, blah, just all those things, right? Well, one thing I've learned about myself and is that I really, when I am sort of, when my hand is forced, I want to buck the system, for lack of a better word. And I joke around, like, I always wanted to be the good kid. I didn't want to disappoint my parents, all that stuff. But I sort of did the same thing in business. I can't tell you how many times I did things to please a boss or to please someone else, not really take care of myself and what was best for me and my family. So I got myself fired. I have never shared this publicly, and I'm doing it because I honestly believe that if something's not right in our lives and there was no way I could have knowingly walked away from that job. I couldn't have. I was a sole supporter of the family and everything was on my shoulders. And so, you know, how do you just say, I'm going to quit this. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was done. Again, I love the company. I love the people I worked with, but retail sucks. It is you can't have a life. I can't begin to tell you what the first Christmas was like outside of retail. It was amazing. So here's what I did. So I take this leave of absence and I went back, which kind of sucked anyways. I went back, I want to say like 2 weeks before Christmas. I needed to time that better. And here I'm going to throw in another little personal tidbit. In that time, I went on antidepressants. And this is never anything that I thought I would do, right? And it's because, which this is where you learn, I don't have judgments. Well, we all do. I don't walk on water. But I've let go of that. If I've not walked in your shoes, it is not my place to have an opinion. Whether or not I have it, I'm going to keep it to myself because I have no idea what you've been through. And I was just like, you know, going into therapy, I don't need therapy, right? Then needing this, it was the best thing I ever did for myself because nothing is more important than feeling good. You cannot function in your life when all you want to do is stay in bed. And you've got these two little people at home that are relying on you for everything. So I did that too. I was actually kind of excited when I went back to work, even though it was Christmas. You know, everything was okay. The store had kind of gone to hell in a handbasket because of who was running it while I was gone. And that's just not a pat on my back, but it's just, I had been with the company and I really knew how they ran things. I was a training manager. See, like overachiever, right? It's just redonkulous. So I went back and this is how I ended up getting myself fired. And I'll never forget, it was a horrific day, let me tell you, because my boss was crying. He was just devastated. I literally had been told that I was getting promoted. I want to say this was May, maybe. So I had been told I'd get promoted. I think it was like 3 months, literally. I would have the first Northern California district for this company. Big company out of the East Coast, but they had come over to California. And we just, you know, the boss that had hired me and that I'd worked for had moved on and become the regional. So I had a different district manager and he was just kind of barky. And I think I was done. I think I knew inside, I can't do this. This isn't what I want to do. This is not the best use of my talents. You know, I have always felt that there was something else I was supposed to do with my life. Like I loved public speaking. I gave a speech at my high school graduation. I was a speech major. I liked to perform as a kid, all those things, but I looked for it. You know, I tried so many things, multiple network marketing companies, and kudos to those of you who do it and succeed at it. It's not me. It's just not what I can do. But I opened and ran a retail scrapbook store from 98 to 2000 with a business partner. And now if it had been, she had the primary financial stake in the company, but if it had been the other way around, I would have opened more stores because 1998 was when scrapbooking was just getting started. You know, so I did that. I was an independent retail recruiter for a couple years. I tried insurance. I tried real estate, which insurance was probably better for me than real estate. But I couldn't afford to work for 10 years to build up commissions, right? Because that's how that works. Real estate drove me crazy. I could not stand the fact that people could just call me at a moment's notice because they wanted to go look at a house. I'm like, no, I'm having dinner with my kids. So I knew that wasn't for me either. At one point, my dad said, hey, Kim, maybe the post office has a test you can take and get a license for. That's pretty funny. But I've always felt that there was something I was supposed to do. So the times I'd gotten out of retail and had to go back because it was what I knew, and I actually hadn't finished my degree, which I have since, it's simply sitting on the wall. I needed to do that for myself. So back to getting fired. And I'm really hoping you guys can follow my circles of conversation. I promise I'll circle back. So it was, you know, late spring and the hours had been cut in the store. And it was kind of one of those, I think that, you know, my boss knew that I could get it done. And so the hours got cut so much. But the problem is that I was the only salaried person in the building because California has since, they did this, you know, 10 years ago, there was a major lawsuit and assistant managers, I don't remember the name of the company, but assistant managers sued their company because they really should be hourly because of the tasks that they do. So all assistants with this company were hourly as well. And so if they worked later, it was all overtime, right? So that kills the budget too. This is what I did. I actually paid someone out of my pocket to work off the clock because there was just no way. And which is so, it just wasn't me. I mean, and I'm not telling you this to be braggy, but like the year before or before, was it before? No, it was after my husband passed away. I got the highest loss prevention score in the company. And this company had been around like 20 years. They're huge. I was so by the book and by the rules, but I just was done, for lack of a better word. And it was, I don't even know that it was just the paying someone out of my pocket. But see, this is like I'm not a crook, but horrible. I'm just not good at lying and tweaking and finagling stuff because I had the guy punch in so that I could make sure to pay him appropriately, right? And then we would pull out the hours, but there's still a record there, like a ding dong. It really was devastating, and because I did it to myself. And this is really is the first time I've ever mentioned this publicly because there was so much shame around it. But, you know, I was doing the best I could at the time, and I took that opportunity to, and that's actually when I got into real estate, still didn't do any of this, and I'm going to cut that story short. I mean, I was even denied by unemployment. The company gave me a severance, and they let me go because of my track record. I mean, it was sad. My boss was in tears, like I said, and, you know, it is what it is. I wouldn't be here today. I'm sure I'd still be with them had I not done that. Then to get denied unemployment, and I'm not even going to start on California's EDD. That's just a whole other nightmare. But I will never forget. I went and saw, and her name is Susan, my therapist, because I'm going to be tired of saying my therapist. I called her right away and I went and saw her, and I was just very victim, maybe, is just why do these things keep happening to me, and why kind of thing. And I can still hear her. She said, "You know, Kim, the universe took Chris. You did this to yourself." Talk about just, I sat there, and it was true. It was true. And she wasn't harsh. It was simply a fact. And I thought, okay, that is what I had to go through. And the years in between, what was that, 2005, I believe, which was great because I just put a pool in my backyard. So it was 2005. The next 3 years were still hell. They truly were. I didn't start my business until 2008. Financially, it was such a struggle. And I had a small lawsuit settle around my husband's death. And that was even hell. I mean, it gave me a little bit of a cushion. But, you know, to have to go to court and explain what I'm doing with my life and explain why the kids should get this much money, it was just, I can't begin to tell you, it was horrific. I don't wish a lawsuit or court on anybody. I will never, ever go through that again. But that is what allowed me a small cushion. But it took a few years to get there. You know, I had to go back at one point to retail because the insurance wasn't, it takes a long time to build up income. The real estate, I hated it. And it was like going to prison to go back to retail. I've never been to prison, so maybe I shouldn't use that analogy, but I think you get my point. So that's my backstory. And, you know, and I share it because there were so many people that were just like, I mean, my parents are my biggest champions, but they said to me at one point, you know, maybe that they wish they had said something earlier in between the time when I got fired and getting this settlement. And mind you guys, I'm going to be really honest with you here too. It's gone. My kids have money for school and that's great. But what I got is gone. I mean, I had to pay bills off. So it didn't set me up for life by any means. My parents kind of said they spoke their piece. I'm very close to my family, which everything I've been through, I don't know what I would do without them. But I've also gotten to a point where I don't share stuff. I don't rely as heavily as I did on my parents, and rightfully so. I mean, at the time I needed the support of my family, but there's also something about standing on your own 2 feet and taking care of business. And everything I do now, I look at it as a choice. No matter what I choose to do financially, no matter what I choose to do with my kids, it's my choice and I get to choose that. And it's not a pissy, I get to do what I want, but there's empowerment there when you do that. But my parents did say to me, you know, maybe, you know, we didn't say anything before. Maybe, you know, you should think about getting a job and I just listened because I was in such a different place that I knew I had to start my business. And when I started it, I knew nothing. The WordPress Chick didn't even come about till about 5 months in. So now I'm going to go ahead and segue into the evolution of the WordPress Chick. It's really been an interesting road, which my life is never dull. That's sort of my little tagline. It just is never dull. But the WordPress Chick came about because I had started another site, which it's still actually up. I haven't written on it since 2009. And I'm going to be giving the domain name to a friend, but it's called theselfhelpchick.com because, like I said, I'm an avid reader, learner, and I've completely shifted from all the motivational stuff to spiritual. And I'm never, ever going to talk on this show about religion or any of that stuff because I firmly believe we all have a right to believe what we want. It kind of, you know, I chilled a bit with that. So I've definitely shifted from all that. the self-help chick, I was like, you know, I read so much. I do this. I'll share that. But I, for the life of me, it was fun. And if you're just getting started, it can be a little intimidating to get that first blog post up, or because you're thinking, well, I did. I guess I shouldn't speak for you. But, you know, there's that fear there of what are people going to think, or, you know, concern about judgment, or who am I to say this, whatever. And we're going to talk about that in the 7 things I would do different. The self-help chick was fun, and I had it designed by eWebscapes, which is owned by Lisa Sabine Wilson. Loved it, and they incorporated the chick. So if you want to go to that site, and I'll link to it, but you guys, again, it's, I have not written on it, and it's probably running a version of WordPress that's like 2.5 or 3 or something. I don't know. It's old. It looked really cute though. And so then I took the chick, and then I had them, because while I was having the self-help chick done, I enrolled in a social media course. So Facebook and Twitter were not brand new, but they were totally new to me. And I met somebody in the course who had his own content management system, and this guy was out of Canada. And so he got me started on that. And then once the self-help chick got up, I was like, how am I going to make money with this, right? And AdSense was pretty big still at the time. So I thought, I'm going to monetize the site with ads. So I posted something on Elance for help with WordPress and AdSense. And I connected with this guy, David, who was fantastic. And I paid these guys. I had a session with each of them once a week. And I paid them for their time. And we would do a session over Skype, and they would teach me stuff. And I remember the exact moment I knew WordPress, there was something there, was when we were looking in the style sheet. And this, mind you, this was all pre-StudioPress Genesis. I didn't even know they existed, which StudioPress was Revolution Themes at the time, I think. Was we were looking in the style sheet, and I saw the color hex because I had gotten Photoshop and I was starting to teach myself all this. And I said, so if I just change that color hex there, that'll change the color. And he said, yeah. I was like, okay, I got this. I can do this. I was not as confident then as I might sound now, but I was like, I could do this. So it sort of evolved. So once the WordPress chick site got turned over to me, I started tweaking stuff and playing with it. And my first posts, I should link to it. They're so goofy. They're short. And because I wasn't really sure, I knew I loved WordPress and I liked talking about it. And so like I grabbed the domain name for the WordPress chick before I really knew what I was doing. And if, this was also before WordPress contacted me and said, you can't use it in the URL, which is why it's the WP chick. So I had this custom site done and I started learning more about it. And then I didn't really want to monetize that site with AdSense because I would be sending people away, right? AdSense, people click on and they leave your site. So I would sort of sporadically be writing. In the meantime, I had connected with someone on Facebook and we just hit it off, and she was over in the UK and we started working on things, and she was like, oh, you should do a Facebook group. So I started a Facebook group called the Women of Internet Marketing because it was a very male-dominated industry. The group is well over 2,000. I've not done anything with it in a good year and a half, and I don't know if I will or not. I'm just going to leave that open. It's gotten a little spammy. There's some admins. We need to go in and clean it up and set rules, but it's just not a priority right now. So I kind of got a little pulled away from the WordPress chick, and my friend had introduced me to Joomla and started playing around with that. And I started doing client sites. And initially, I did them on Joomla, which is crazy to me now. WordPress is just, I'm not biased, of course, just better. So, you know, it's like I'm building sites on Joomla. How do I write about WordPress? So it was just very, I think I was just a little wishy-washy, and I was just afraid to really step into that. So the WordPress chick evolved, and then I found StudioPress, and I got the church theme. And that was really, I had done a couple client sites, and I fell into that. You guys, when I started this, I had zero intention of doing websites or client work. I got the first two sites. This is funny. The first two sites that I was going to do, because I'd also signed up with an internet marketing mentor that I'm not going to talk about because I didn't get a lot out of it. Expensive lesson learned. But the first one was beingwidowed.com. And I paid a company to do that website. And then the other one was getoutofretail.com, which is kind of funny. But at the end of the day, I didn't want to write about the hardest thing in my life every day. There's, you know, you can't really grow from that. And I'm using my hands again, like you guys can see me. Because what I had experienced, I was 32 when I lost my husband, and there was not a lot out there for people my age. I remember I went to it was hosted by hospice, a grief thing. And I had people coming up to me afterwards who were there because they had lost a partner or a parent or something. And they were like, I'm so sorry, you know, because I couldn't find resources for people my age that had little kids and had suddenly gone through this. It was anyway, so that's what that was my initial intent with the Being Widowed site. But I was like, I don't want to live this every day. I mean, I live it already, right? So I don't know that I want to talk about this. And then the Get Out of Retail, which I still, for anybody doing it, thank God you do. We have stores, right? We need it. But anybody doing it knows it's really hard to have a great quality of life with that type of a schedule. And so same thing. I'm like, well, do I want to write about something that's a negative to me? And again, I met amazing people and I've got some great friendships still. And I wouldn't be where I am today without having done it. But I've already told my kids, you're not working retail. You're just not. In high school, I wanted to focus on school. I would like them to work. My daughter at 16 is working. That's another podcast, but I don't want them to do it. Enough said. So I found Studio Press. I purchased the church theme and I found my niche. I really found my love of teaching and sharing. And again, I didn't really step into it fully for a while. At the time, so I had customized the church theme, which was all black and gray, and I got put in their showcase. I was one of five sites in the showcase. That's pretty friggin' cool. So I started talking about Studio Press, and I just started doing little tutorials like how to change your navigation bar and the featured content gallery. If anybody remembers that, there's so many easy, you know, easy upload soliloquy galleries and stuff to use today. But at the time, this thing was a pain. So I did this big, long PDF on how to use it. And I found my niche because I logged into my Google Analytics account and the post that was getting the most traffic was a Studio Press video tutorial. And here's the other thing. I did not really know how to use Camtasia very well when I started. I mean, somebody, and I may have said this in an earlier post or podcast, but someone had said, you know, you need to learn how to use the software because you're making me dizzy. Which kind of made me sad. It wasn't very nice, but it was true. But here's the deal. It didn't stop me from making videos. As soon as I saw that, I was like, there's a little bit of a niche here. So I started doing more Studio Press tutorials. Genesis came out and sort of the rest is history. There's a lot of people teaching Genesis now. And as I add more to what I'm doing, it's always going to be sort of a first love. And I'll continue sharing, teaching, writing. But there's a lot of things I want to do as well. So all of that, you can hear how my business evolved. And it's really been organic. And I've gone back and forth. I don't want to work with clients. I want to work with clients. Oh, I love this client. And, you know, I leave that very open-ended at this point that I will probably always have client work, but I get to choose who I work with now. The last few clients I've had have just been a joy. And it's a lot of fun. And it keeps me with my hands inside of WordPress. I've got two programmers and a graphics person now. I get to do what I like to do, you know, and a lot of people on my list, I think they've got their own business and they're like, oh, I would love to have someone on retainer. And keep in mind, it took me 3 years to get there of just keeping at it. And then it was really scary when I did that because I had to commit to a year contract with somebody and that evolved organically as well because the programmer that I was working with was working for someone else who I was paying. And he said, you know, I'm not going to work for him anymore. I forget what it was, but it was literally like 3/4 of what I was paying was going to the boss, not the programmer. So the programmer started working directly with me and he doubled his income and I saved money. It was great. That has been the evolution of all that. So now the 7 things I would do different, and I'm going to really try to keep this short. I see we're getting kind of tight on time, but the first thing that I would do, and I cannot stress this enough, is that I would focus on my content and my business first. When you are a service-based business and you know your business is driven by client work, it is so easy to get caught up in that. Okay, well, I'll do a blog post later, or I'll share my stuff, or I'll talk about this later. But at the end of the day, if you don't maintain your brand and your content, you're not going to have a business. I don't know. I'm not kept record, but I don't know how many people that I've talked to that do websites, do web design, do client work, that they eventually want to shift out of it. So it's scalable when you bring on a team, but otherwise it's constant time for money, time for money. And if you absolutely love it, then that is awesome. But I still believe in my gut, you need to write, you need to share your content, you need to focus on you and your brand. Not going backwards, but again, if I were starting today, which is what I do now, the first part of my day is when I write. It's when I create videos. It's when I connect and engage. It's when I record podcasts because my kids are home who are 12 and 16 now. So it's not like they're, you know, quite as hands-on anymore. But the first thing, focus on your content. Don't worry about, is it good? Is it not good? Keep writing. The more content you create, and mind you, you have to be tracking what's working. Little side note here is I sent out a message to my list on Monday of this week and said, which would you prefer? I'm going to change the opt-in offer on my site. I said, would you prefer the three biggest mistakes you're making with your WordPress site or this other PDF I'd created? The PDF is called WordPress, Your Digital Platform, How to Create Raving Fans and Boost Your Profits. So I sent out this message to my list and I said, which would you guys prefer? And which I gave them the link to download the digital platform books. I already did that. It was great. The feedback that I got was awesome. And it's the three biggest mistakes. And one person said, you know, maybe if you titled it, I don't want to feel like I'm doing something wrong. But I think there's that psychological trigger either way. But the three mistakes is almost done too. So I think that's going to be the consensus. But my point is that because I asked, I know what people want. So when you're writing your content and you're developing, it doesn't matter if it's a post, a video, a podcast, track what's working, okay? You have to set those things up. And that is one of the mistakes in the book and the video. There's going to be a video to correlate with the PDF that explains to you how to set up WordPress SEO and how to optimize your content. The second thing I would focus on, and this is probably you're tired of hearing this, but I would focus on building my list. And I would do it strategically and, of course, measure what's working. And when I say build it strategically is I would do split testing from the get-go. I would change my opt-in offer more often. I would incorporate an opt-in offer on my site because the bottom line is this is my business. And, you know, that email list, when it is a valuable list, don't get me wrong, I don't want a list of 10,000 people by doing ad swaps. And I tried some of those. And maybe some people listening to this or on my list came there via an ad swap, but it didn't feel right. Okay, so go back and focus on doing it strategically. So you're going to see a lot of that shifting this year for me. One of those things that I've done is I've switched over from using Easy Video Player to Lead Player. And I'm going to talk about WordPress video probably in an episode coming up pretty quickly because I've just made this change. So my second thing, again, is I would focus on building my list and I would do it strategically. Measure what's working. But again, you know, you are in business. Get their name and email, offer them something of value. Don't just throw up some PLR stuff. And I'm not knocking PLR. It's not me. It doesn't work for me. The third thing I would do is I would have something to sell as soon as possible. And again, I'm not talking throwing up PLR or just whipping something out and deciding it's got this $97 value. Create value. And I don't care if it's 30 pages or 80 pages. If it's got value and I'm going to truly learn something from it or gain something from it, then great. Put that value on it. But in a way, I think that, you know, I sort of taught people that I was just here to provide free training. And I'm sure there's a more eloquent way to say that, but put it in your funnel. You know, so set up that autoresponder sequence with your list. Give them something of value, make sure they're understanding it, connect with them, share some resources, and then have something of value to sell them. This is a business because you know, when you don't do things consistently, and people on my list can tell you that I have been more consistent this year than in the previous 4 years combined about emailing and communicating and engaging because I've made that choice to step up this year. So have something to sell as soon as you can, whether it's a webinar, a teleseminar, an audio, a video, a PDF, a course, everybody can come up with something because you are setting a precedent that you are a business and you've got something to offer, that you believe in your stuff. And if you're just a service-based business, make sure you let people know that you are available for hire and share testimonials, talk about great experiences and do those things. Step up and say, hey, hire me. Whether it's something to sell, services, or a product, do that early on. The fourth thing that I would do is I would trust my gut and I would simply be myself. There is so much hype in this industry, which I guess you could probably say there's hype in any industry, but anybody that is in the internet marketing space at all understands this. And I truly believe it's evolving. People are seeing through it. And, you know, I don't want to say that I tried to be somebody else, but for a long time, I sort of hid behind this. I'm not a coder. I'm not a programmer. Yes, I know how to do a lot of that stuff now, but because I wasn't professionally trained, I don't have that certificate, I held myself back. Like, I don't have something of value to offer. And that actually turned out to be my biggest asset, right? Because I teach people from the everyday user perspective, and I like to make things simple, and I want it to be fun. If you've not seen my manifesto, check it out. It's on the site or YouTube, but I did this huge manifesto where it's, I made the decision, if it's not fun, I'm not gonna do it. And that's tough because that means you do have to say no to certain business. You choose not to take on certain clients because you trust yourself. You feel that energy. So be you. That's kind of woo-woo, but whatever. But I'm really trusting myself now and it is paying off tenfold. So the fifth thing I would do is I would focus on relationships, connections, and how I can support other people. I am really moving in that direction now. And I'm hoping just by hearing this, you can tell that. And not so much this episode, but in general, that is really a part of my business. And it makes me feel good. It really, really does. Nothing feels that good as just knowing you've helped somebody out. I've got this conversation going with this gal, and you'll be hearing more about her down the road. You know, she's like, you are so great. Thank you so much. And it's just, if I can help somebody, you know, sort of shorten the learning curve, whatever, and it works with my time, and I'm doing it because I'm choosing to do it, it's just great. It's a win-win. It's sort of like that, you know, no such thing as a selfless good deed, because you do end up feeling good. Again, I sort of hid behind being busy and having client work, and I didn't reach out enough, or it was like, oh, I don't want to bug people, which people who know me would be like, okay, who is that, right? I'm really not shy or do any of that, but it was, I just played it really safe. So I don't care if you're just getting started out right now, you need to take the time to comment on other people's blogs, take the time to share other people's stuff, let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. That is how you build relationships. Don't decide that, you know, they've got 20 comments, they don't need mine, who am I? Do it. There are no comments that I ever receive that I'm not appreciative of. The snarky ones even tell me, well, I guess I'm getting big enough that the haters are starting to come. I don't know if that's true, but you know what I mean. The sixth thing would be to be as absolutely transparent as possible. Again, this is another shout out to Ben. So if you're listening to this, he left another tweet that said, I listened to your second podcast episode and great transparency. And he had commented on Google Plus to my friend Eleanor, who shared the podcast. Same thing. And it felt really good, you guys, just to know that is a goal. And I don't want to just know that life is rosy all the time for people that I respect and admire. Tell me you have a hard day too, and you get up and you just put one foot in front of the other, just like everybody else. We're all the same. So when you share those things, like, that was part of why I wanted to share some of my backstory, because it was hell. I mean, if it weren't for those two little people, there were plenty of times I would have wanted to stay in bed for months, and times got even darker, and we didn't have all day for today. So I didn't go into it. Everything, but I wanted you to see there's light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, I'm at this place now where it is just life is struggle, things happen, and you take it in stride. When you find that grounded, centered space in your life, then it's like, okay, you know, snarky client there, it's a numbers game, right? The more people you work with, the more people you engage with, you're gonna get that comment, you're gonna get that client. It's just life. So be transparent. People appreciate it. They value it. It can help somebody. So that's the sixth thing I would do. Be totally transparent, be myself, and not be afraid to rock the boat, so to speak. Again, I'm never going to get into some public war with anybody verbally. I don't want to put my energy there. But if I don't like the way something is being done or the way something is marketed, I'm going to say it. End of story. But I will always be respectful, and I don't ever want to be slanderous or any of that kind of stuff. And then the last thing is I would treat my business like a business, which sounds like a novel idea, right? My point with that, this came about this week with someone had emailed me because I had been asking people, what can I do to support you? And I'm really trying to do that. So like I mentioned, and they had said, you know, they're launching a new site, me as a web designer, and is my free offer of a website review not enough? Well, my first reaction was that is way too much. It is value, but it should be a bonus. Here's how I explained it to them. I said, your time is the one thing you can't get back, right? And you have to put a monetary, when you are doing a service business, you need to put a monetary value on your time. So if you say, well, my time is worth $125 an hour and I'm giving it away, that's a gift, right? And again, the opt-in offer, I believe, value, absolutely. But you're also teaching people that you're super accessible, which you should be able to be reached, but you have a business to run and you don't want to become an open-ended support desk, tech support, however that's going to look. But if you treat it like a business and you say to yourself, if I can leverage my time and I can provide something of value that really is going to help somebody, that happens sort of on autopilot, that's how you create profit in your business, right? You have to track those things. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I've got this team now and I'm incorporating with my friend Steve O'Sullivan, and the WordPress chick is me and that's mine. And he's got his own stuff, but we've got joint ventures together. Okay, well, our team now, we track hours. We assign hours to projects. We look at what projects are costing us. Have we made money on this project yet? So all of those things are how you treat a business like a business. I've always had separate accounts, but look at it. Is this the best use of my time? And it's kind of baby steps, right? That is an example. If you have an hourly rate, I recommend, you know, come up with your hourly rate and then stretch it a little bit. And this was Susan again. She's the one that helped me grow here because I really didn't. I was like, oh, I can't charge that much. And then you charge it and the right people show up that want to pay you for your time. All of this always comes back to providing value, having integrity in what you do. And I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes and I've always done everything the right way, but that's how we learn. And I don't choose to get hung up on the judgments and the shame anymore. Easy for me to say, right? But when you treat your business like a business, your customers and clients will too. So that email, phone calls, whatever, you set that precedent. You get to decide what your office hours are. You get to decide, do you let people just call you whenever you want? Do you have to set an appointment? All of those things, you get to choose that. So treat your business like a business. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. And I'm hoping that this is cohesive. I'm going to be able to, I'll know later when I do my editing. I can't stress these things enough to you guys. And I don't want to say that, you know, I'm doing all these things now, but they're obvious to me today. And it will pay off. Oh, the last little thing I was just going to mention to you, and this was what I was writing up to my coaching client, is that it's tricky because you have to spend time doing the things that aren't paying off right now, but will pay off in the long run. So you may have a client project, and I'm not saying clients, you know, don't take priority, but if you don't schedule in that time for your business and your brand, you're never going to. And that is what's going to pay off in the long run. So by creating valuable content, getting it indexed, getting it shared, you know, developing relationships, those are the things that will inevitably help you grow your business. The clients, again, it's a one-off. It's a time for money, time for money, time for money. And I friggin' love passive income. Nothing beats notification of payment when I'm hanging out doing something different. And, you know, I get PayPal notifications. I need to figure out how to do that with Amazon and Kindle. And I don't care if it's $2.99 or $299. It feels really good. And once you know you can do it on a smaller scale, well, then it's sort of like a wash, rinse, and repeat. You just continue growing it. By focusing on your business, you're going to have a business down the road. You know, there's a lot of hype in this industry about niche markets and flipping things and doing Facebook ads. And all of those are very relevant, tangible businesses. But if you are in this for the long haul, you have to have that sort of that foundation, that solid place. The WordPress chick, I just stuck with it and it grew. I don't know that I would have changed that course per se, because I'm so happy with my business and where I'm at today. So go out there, trust yourself, create awesome content, and then you have to share it. Remember that. And I've been bad about that with my own stuff. But if you're not going to talk about you, no one else is either. And it's never, it doesn't need to come from this place of, look at me, look at me. You guys ever seen Mad TV, Stewart? Look what I can do, look what I can do. Oh God, that guy was funny. But it's saying, hey, I've got something to offer you, you know? And when I write a post and it's 1,000 words and I've got a video in there, I want the world to see that. I want those comments and I want people to gain, you know, I want to solve a problem, whatever that is, you know, so go out there, share it. That is, that's it. It's about time for me to go pick up my kid. So the 12-year-old. So anyways, thanks again, as always, for listening. And I, of course, would love it if you shared this, listened in iTunes, write a review, whatever you see fit. But it's always appreciated. And make sure that you check out Ben Boykin. And his site is emergentinteractive.com. Check out Flywheel Hosting and have fun. Have a great day. Thanks again for listening.